Right. Excellent. Leave you with the flyer for the next panel. So, two shows by women who explore gender in various permutations in work of quite strikingly different affect. It's interesting to have Dufresne following on from Zahmer because of the fact that you got an artist in Zahmer, almost a sort of Renaissance man, that's come up three times this evening, a Renaissance man going from sculpture to animation to video to illustration, and the incredible decisiveness in Zahmer. Just one last thing on Zahmer, when you've got those very large pages and the decisiveness of placing what he places where he does, and it just as a technical way of executing is pretty stunning. Now, then we go to Dufresne, a pure painter, right? Discovery of the image through the paint, this feeling that even if there is some quote-unquote illustrative or some design behind her intentions, we get the feeling, don't we, that it's the actual manipulation of material on the brush that arrives at the image. The narratives are richly ambiguous, aren't they? Dorothy, what did you make of Angela Dufresne?
Well, these last two shows, but should we talk about them one at a time?
Yes, let's
All right, so Angela Dufresne, I was actually relieved because I saw the other two gently surprised by this work. I thought there was a magic to it, and the devilish look in the, well, you don't have any images up anymore, but in the eyes of all of the figures. I mean, it's like she does these quick brushes, even wide brushes, and somehow can create a form while she's doing this. It seems, I mean, the way the forms materialized was really amazing to her. I felt like in this show, as opposed to the other two, that it was exactly what it said it was. You know, it's a painting show, and you don't need a press release, and you just go and enjoy like her interaction with the paint and her kind of crafty and devilish imagination.
Yeah. What do you think, Rob, of what Dorothy's saying there?
I can understand what she says. This is not an artist I knew. I could admire some of the technique, although I began to suspect it was a treatment more than a real technique. I thought, in other words, that she had a way of surfacing and enlivening things that wasn't really necessary to make the image in a lot of cases. It was a decorative or embellishing add-on. I saw some of it as a kind of attempt to go back to where Eric Fischel was when he began to do allegories and to do it genuinely differently and to do it from a differently gendered position. And I'd be interested to see more. Utterly persuaded me, and there were little things that made me nervous. Having said that, there was one show that I found on my way to this one, which I really liked, Two Doors Down, Jane Corrigan, who did wonderfully painterly paintings of girl athletes, basically, and one of the best kisses I've seen in a long time in a painting. And it seemed to me her way of making the paint move and her discovery of imagery through moving the paint was so much less self-conscious and so much richer in connotation. So I wouldn't normally put the two of them against each other in a way to hurt one with the other, but I would say that Corrigan is doing something right away with this approach to painting, albeit with a different touch, and I hope that Dufresne gets there too.
Well, little to add. I suppose what hasn't been mentioned here, for those who haven't seen the show, is how, and I guess this is my job on this panel, how rife with allusions to other painters this show is. She's not alone in doing that, needless to say, but this show really does it quite a bit. All the way back to Pompeii, I thought I noted. But Enzor is there, There's the big painting in the show is very explicitly in its title a reference to Courbet's real. I'll give you Courbet's title. This is the painting of Courbet in his studio, and there's a model behind him, barely covered by a cloth, but he's painting a landscape. And Brian, speaking of networks, including Baudelaire. And the title of Courbet's painting is Real Allegory, Interior of My Studio, Determining a Phase of 7 Years of My Artistic Life. Testament, and her title for her riff on this is A Real Allegory of My Artistic and Moral Life. And inside of that painting are citations of paintings, actual painted paintings, one of which looked a lot like Constable to me. I'm sure other people saw other things. Also, and this is somewhat typical, you find it in John Curran and in others, there's a kind of love of the, by all tasteful people, unloved moments in earlier painting. I discerned even references to kind of late 19th century society painting, like Segantini, if you've ever heard of him. At the same time as you've got all of this welter of references going on through the paint and in the paint, it's in the handling, but it's also in what's being, the motifs being represented, you have these visions of a kind of wonderfully harmonious but vicious Arcadia. There's animals, there's nudity, although it's never prurient, the nudity. It is somewhat restrained, this show. But there's sort of kissing going on between animals and humans. There's severed heads. And yet it all feels quite loving and pleasant.
Yeah, I got the feeling that it was almost a sort of pansexual paean in a way. But at the same time, it's Freemasonry meets, or not Freemasonry, like witchcraft meets deliverance. You know, because there did seem to be a real redneck, and this is where I think the connections between Kurland and Dufresne are really quite riveting. There did seem to be a similar sort of redneck energy
Winter's
permeating.
Bone, that movie, Winter's Bone, with Jennifer Winter's Lawrence.
Right.
Did you see that?
I read the book, but I didn't see the movie yet.
Sort
yes.
of reminded me of that.
Yes, yes.
Now maybe there's an analogy to be drawn between the promiscuity of pictorial allusiveness, and a kind of promiscuity of human and bestial in the content. And maybe that analogy is mismatched at moments. Maybe that's partly related to those moments of nervousness that Rob alluded
to. Yes.
I'm not sure
yes.
what those were, but that seemed to me possibly an area that could be tricky. I didn't know how to reconcile the two levels of promiscuity, if you will.
Well, there's a sort of miscegenation between her and art history and the creatures and beings in her paintings. Is that what you're alluding to?
But to say it that way, and that is the way I said it more or less, doesn't sound like enough. I still think it's maybe I need to think it through a little bit more.
Yeah. Rob, can you come back with this notion of miscegenation?
It's not a term I like very much, given its history.
Right.
I think she's at liberty to mix and match and to play these games. This is also a situation just on the painterly side where I would recommend actually she try to make bigger paintings to go for broke in a kind of 19th century way, because I think the fussiness of her technique would go away if she actually had to make the big gesture and compel us to believe and look at something. So this is somebody I'm all for seeing grow, and I think, I hope anyway, that she doesn't sort of settle into this mode and this scale too much. I mean, she's pretty well mastered it within its limits.
I think one thing one would just say as a sort of factual intervention is that, and this happens with the review panel, you see an artist having a show and you're interested to go and look at that artist and that show. She she, Monyoreau used to be in Chelsea, and when Monyoreau was in Chelsea, her last show doubled up with something at CRG Gallery, where we saw very big camps. She's an extremely prolific artist who does often work at a scale that I think would satisfy.
No, it's not the scale just per se. It's not that I like big paintings or small paintings. Yeah. Just I had a sense that her technique was not, you know, doing as much as it might, and maybe this would be the question, but I'll go look at the earlier ones, see what they are.
Right, fantastic, cool.